time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region. Your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to the Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On today's show, the first show of the new year, we're going to have Jim Moyer, who's been keeping the basketball scorebook for the high school for 50 years. He'll be here. He's here now. We'll get to him after the intro here. Then at 9:30, we're going to be talking with Frankfort High School graduate and state pole vault champion Colton Crum to discuss how things are going at Notre Dame. And also, of course, we'll probably get into some high school and college basketball, maybe some NFL. We'll just see how things happen. So any guy has any questions or comments, 659-3338 or 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. So let's get the show off and going and say good morning to Mr. Jim Moyer. Jim, how you doing?
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Fine. You're in a pretty good mood, especially after the Hot Dogs got a victory last night.
Oh, yeah. Hot Dogs beat Twin Lakes 83-76.
Yeah. So that's probably, would you say that's their best game of the year?
Oh, absolutely. Hot Dogs were red hot. I mean, we hit 9 3-pointers in the first quarter, scored 29 points. And overall, we had 19 out of 26 3-pointers, which is about 75%.
You're not going to lose very often when you do that.
No, you're not. That just really put them down.
So now you get another trip tonight, assuming the weather holds, which I think it's probably going to. You get to go up to Northwestern tonight, which should be kind of maybe not as much fun tonight.
Yeah, this might be a little tougher tonight. Northwestern's a darn good team.
So you've been doing this now for 50 years. Why do you still stick with it?
Because I love it. I can't think of anything I would rather do than be on that bench keeping a scorebook.
So even more than, say, doing football or doing baseball or doing anything.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Basketball is my favorite.
So, but that's something that you've done basically since you've been here, since you became an eighth grade teacher.
I have.
And you basically have done it ever since you got here.
I have. We were trying to figure out this morning how many games I have kept score for, and I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's somewhere north of 2,000.
And I'm sure that I know you and I've talked about this before, but when you came here, you didn't expect to be on the city council for 32 years. I'm sure you didn't expect to be, doing what you're doing now for as long as you've done that either.
No. When I came here, I didn't even know I was going to score anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that I was keeping some score for some of the kids that I had in class. Why not just do it for the team? And that's where it took off.
So it's been an interesting thing for you because you go from teaching high school or junior high math, and you go over here and teach high school math, and then you start keeping the book. So it's been an interesting journey for you throughout. So,
well, it has. It's been an enjoyable ride, and I'm still riding.
Yeah, that's right. Now, has every game that you've done always been at Case over here, or did we have something else before Case that you kept the book at?
Well, the only other place was down at Howard Hall.
Mm-hmm.
At the junior high, which used to be the high school.
Right. So, but that's, were you keeping the book then for the high school?
No, I was keeping the book then for the junior high.
Okay.
The high school was already out at Case Arena.
So all your games for the high school, both boys and girls,
have been in Case Arena.
How much has Case changed over the year for you?
Not much. We've had a new floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had new bleachers, and that's about it. The maintenance staff out there at the high school just keeps it looking spick and span like it's brand new.
And does that make it easier to do things, kind of keep your focus where it needs to be kept and those kind of things? Does that help you, especially when things haven't changed a whole lot?
Well, it does. It it's very comfortable. And everybody tells me, well, you've got the best seat in the house. I say, yes, I've got the best seat in the house, but I don't very often see the game.
Because you're thinking about one thing, and it's right in front of you. That little book is right in front of you.
That's right. And my head is down in the book so much, I miss a lot of the action.
So sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's not good.
Right. I have a lot of help, though, because we scorekeepers, we work together. We're a team.
I was going to say, when I've kept the book for some teams that I've worked with, you have to do that, I think. I think that's a must.
You do, yes, absolutely. And I get a lot of help from Susan Davis, who runs our scoreboard. She helps me on who's taking shots and when they call timeouts and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. She makes sure I know what's going on.
How long has Susan been with you?
She's been with me ever since Doc Heath retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was around the same time I did, around 2002.
So she's had her fair number of games as well. So.
Yes.
So you guys got the dynamic duo going there between
That's exactly right.
You know, and the other thing I noticed, you also did a bit of, we could call you a bit of a movie star because you, I think, were in part of Blue Chips, weren't you?
I was. I got to keep the scorebook for the IU ball team the two nights that they played in Blue Chips.
And then, of course, you got a chance to go meet, do we call him infamous or famous or I don't know, Bob Knight?
It depends on which side you're on, whether he's famous or infamous.
Yeah, I think a lot of him. I really, as a coach, but now as a person, I'll throw that up for debate later.
He just wasn't happy that night, and he's kind of short with me. But I got his signature on the back of the scorebook.
How was he to be around in a situation like Blue Chips, and how were the rest of people like Nick Nolte and everybody else that was in it? How was it fun to be around those kind of people?
I didn't really get to interact much with those. Of course, Knight is Knight, no matter where he is. He's got to be the star of the show.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of was the star of the show during that thing, too.
Yes, he was. He was very temperamental. Almost didn't even come out to get the game started.
That sounds about right, too. But I've got the article here that the Star did, and they got a picture of Nick Nolte sitting there on the side, like a lot of coaches and ADs and people do, they're now, so they sit up there on the side and they're on the front there near the locker room. So it's kind of interesting to see. How were the players, the ones who had the name players like Hurley and like a few of those other players and Shaq? How were those people?
Well, I didn't get to interact with them outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But during the game, they're just like you'd see them on TV, or it just really focused on what they're doing.
That doesn't, you think about pro basketball players thinking like, gee, now I gotta make sure I do this line right, I gotta do this right, So, but did you really enjoy that? Was that something that you?
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it seems like that's something that this community, and I don't think a lot of people who were there have ever forgotten about either.
That's right. If you were there, you remember it. Because it was something that we had a packed house every night. They brought in extra bleachers, so we seated well over 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Now I got a real quick question. The last scene of the movie where Nolte's out after he's been fired, and he's out teaching some kids how to play basketball. Is that out there where the old tennis courts was, or is that in another part of the community?
I don't know, because a lot of that was shot back in California.
Okay.
So it wasn't all shot in our gymnasium. Even some of the scenes back in the tunnel where they come out, some of that was shot elsewhere other than just in our gym.
So I remember you saying that when Nick Nolte kicked the ball, wherever he kicked it to, was one of the most fun things you've ever seen.
Oh, it was. That was the most interesting thing in the gym that I think I've ever seen. He was supposed to kick the ball to the stands. But he kicked it way up high in the upper reaches, and that was not something that was scripted.
Let's just face it, there's a lot of room in the upper parts of Case. There always has been a lot of room upstairs there.
That's right. It's something like 70 feet high.
Yeah. So how did the people who were extras and those that were a part of that movie, how did they react in your mind? How did they all react? Did they think it was a positive and everything else?
Yes, absolutely. The directors and producers and all that, never thought that they would get the crowd that they got to come in and watch. They thought they'd have to pay people to be extras.
That kind of surprises me because, if you're going to do a movie like this, and you would think the directors would know that this is a basketball hotbed, you wouldn't really want to do that too often.
Well, they're Californians, and things are different
true.
In California.
I forgot about that. But it's something it's something that's, it doesn't seem like it's 40 years ago now, almost 40 years ago now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, that's true. The other thing, when you graduated from down at Clay City, of course, you had the nickname of the Eels down there.
True.
And then, of course, you come up here. We had hot dogs. But we've also had about four or five other nicknames, haven't we, up here?
Yeah, well, back in the old days, now, this is before my time. Mm-hmm. They had the basketball team, the Fighting Fives, the track team, the Blue Blazers, the football team, the Nighthawks, the baseball team, the Blue Sox, just different name for each team. And then somewhere along the line, they got it all consolidated into hot dogs.
Does that how was it? You know, I just wonder how it was for these people around here. You know, you got all these different nicknames for all these different teams, and then they finally consolidated into the hot dogs, where people are going like, "Why hot dogs?"
Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, it is obvious to us. I mean,
back then, the way that the boys played, they said they were hot dogs, and that kind of stuck. And then, of course, being from Frankfurt and Frankfurters and hot dogs, mm-hmm. it's just all pretty logical.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this before, is that I think as far as I'm aware, this is the only hot dogs I'm aware of in the country.
It is. And I still get people saying, your team is what? The hot dog? Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're proud of it.
And as you've said many times, it's not really a hot dog. It's more of an animal mascot than it is anything else.
Yeah, it's the little long wiener dog. And now that we've got a ferocious dog for the mascot, it makes a little better than the old long dog that they used to wheel out in the middle of the court.
That's true. How much has the game of basketball changed during your time over there?
It's changed really a lot. It goes a lot faster now than it used to. And there have been some changes in high school basketball that some of them I don't like too well. But in my time, they've gone to the three-point shot, which a lot of people really, really enjoy. They've changed the timeouts. Instead of four per game, you get five, and it's 3-minute timeouts and 2 30-second timeouts. The jump ball was a big one. Changed that to possessions instead of jump balls. And some of that I don't care much for.
Is there anyone you dislike more than anything else?
Oh, I don't know. Probably I'm not real fond of the three-point shot. I know it adds a lot of excitement to the crowd, but it makes it more difficult for the scorekeepers.
Oh, that's true. But the problem is at least you guys don't have instant replay now where you can say, can we stop this thing and say, was that a two or a three over there? You just have to basically go with it and hope everything works out the way
it should. Well, that's true. Sometimes it's pretty close.
Yeah.
That foot on the line.
Yeah. Can you name some of the people that you have seen play over here for the high school? This doesn't necessarily have to be Frankfurt. But, you know, some of the best players you've ever seen walk into Case?
Well, locally here, we've had some really, really good players right here in Frankfurt. Some of them, Gary Good, for example, was an all-star for Indiana. And Brandon Crone was one of the best players that I can remember, had a stellar college career at Butler.
Right.
And Andy Foster went down to Indiana Central, University of Indianapolis, and had a wonderful career. One of my favorites from the other teams we played was Matt Waddell from over at Tipton.
Oh.
We had some really good sectional games between Tipton and Clinton Central and Frankfurt and Rossville.
Do you want to go back to one class, or you want to keep it as is?
One class. It's the only way to go.
Yeah. I talked to Bobby Cox about that about 2-3 weeks ago, and he says there's no way that's going to happen.
I know. It will not. I'm convinced it won't.
He actually said that what he was saying, there's going to be more classes added because the ones at the top are the ones that keep growing, and the ones that stay small just stay small. So it's going to be kind of hard for, you know, we'll say a Frankfurt or a Clinton Central or whoever, for them to try a matchup against a Ben Davis or a Carwater.
Yeah. They've already gone to 6 classes in football.
Yeah, and I think there's possibly you're going to see more of that, too.
And unfortunately for us, that puts us up in one of the larger classes where we're a 4A school in football, but we're still only 3A in basketball.
So there is one rule I would love to see change. This is just me now. Is that, you know, we have the alternate possession throughout the game.
Right.
Okay, when we go to overtime, we have a jump ball.
Right.
Which I don't like. Because to me, what you ought to have is you still, that alternate possession should kick over. And the reason I say that is because personal fouls and team fouls remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you start a whole different game, but then again, you haven't started a whole new game.
Well, I agree with you because actually overtime is simply an extension of the fourth quarter.
Right. So what I'm saying is that either they need to get everything back on keel to where it was, or they need to go back, okay, team fouls should go to zero, and you start, you say we'll go to five, and you start shooting. And I think overtimes are way too many free throws anyway.
Yes, I agree, and I think that's something that could be looked at.
And that's just me personally. And, of course, since we won our national title 30-plus years ago, I love the three-point line. That's how we were able to do it. So.
Oh, yeah. Our kids last night, they just went crazy on those three-point shots, and they were hot.
Okay. Jim, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, just that I have thoroughly enjoyed the time that I've spent on the bench, and I'm not ready to give it up anytime soon.
I was going to say you gave it up after 32 years for city council, but you want to keep this going for, what, another 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
That's right. I wouldn't have retired from teaching if they hadn't let me continue.
Well, and the thing of it is, loving figures as you did by teaching math, that's basically been your life, a lot of your life. Between politics and dealing with basketball and teaching.
Well, it is. I'm a numbers person.
Yeah. And I think you've loved every minute of it.
Every minute of it.
Okay. Jim, thanks much. Greatly appreciate the time. Best of luck to you in your future, and we'll keep in touch down
the
line.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Is there something on your mind? Are you mad about something your elected officials have done? Do you have an opinion on a local or national issue? Let us know by sending your opinion to WILO and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We now have a sound off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on sound off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. And I'm your host, Ken Hartman. It was really great to have Jim Moyer here in the studio, who's starting his 50th year of keeping the high school basketball book for Frankfort High School. And we got another great guest coming up here shortly, as we're going to have Colton Crown, the Steve Pole Vault champion and current student up at Notre Dame. Colton is already here, and we're going to have him on here in about 5 or 10 minutes, and he will be our next guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. Not much high school basketball games going on last night, but we're going to get you caught up on all the local area schools and what they're doing right now. On the boys' side, we've already mentioned the fact that Frankfort defeated Twin Lakes last night, 83-76. Hot Dogs are now 2-4 going into tonight's game at Northwestern. Game time is 7:30 over there tonight. Clinton Central did not play last night. They are still winless in 7 games. Their next outing will be over at Eastern on January the 10th. That's their next game. Then they also host Northwestern back here on the 11th. Clinton Prairie is 7-1 as we speak. They have a game tonight, which will be heard on AM 1570 and 96.9 FM WILO as they host Taylor tonight. Tip-off is 7:30 over at Clinton Prairie tonight. Gophers are 7-1. They lost their opener to Frankfort by 8 and have now reeled off 7 straight wins. So the Gophers right now are 7-1 going into tonight's game against Taylor. Rossville improved to 7-4 last night as they just pounded Sheridan 66-26. So they're now 7-4, and their next game now is next Friday over at Taylor, so that's where they will be playing next. So that takes care of the boys' side of things. On the girls' side of things, Clinton Prairie has by far the best record of any of the girls' teams. They are now 11-2 after they got past Lebanon at home on Thursday night by a score of 57-55. They are at Taylor for their game right now, and then they come over here to play Frankfort on Tuesday night. Well, kind of the team we're kind of forgetting about maybe a little bit is Clinton Central. They're currently 9-5. They did lose 2 out of 3 at the tournament down at Tipton over the last weekend. But they are now off until the 9th of January when they play Bethesda Christian, and they also play at Eastern on the 10th. But Matt Crawford's got a good team over there. They're 9-5. Rossville got beat last night by Sheridan in the first game prior to the boys' game last night as they lost 40-34. They're 7-8 right now, and their next ball game will be on the 10th, also over at Taylor next week. Frankfort is 2-13. They got a win in the tournament over South Newton before they lost to LaPel in the championship game. They lost to Danville earlier this week, and their next game will be home this week on Tuesday at home against Clinton Prairie before hosting Lebanon next Friday night. That'll be a boys-girl doubleheader game over here going at 6 and 7:30. So that's the high school basketball situation locally here going on right now. College basketball, which I want to get to before we get to Colton Crum. I'm going to just tell you now, I thoroughly enjoyed Wisconsin beating Ohio State last night in basketball. Thoroughly enjoyed it because Ohio State, who's everybody thinks is good, and they are a good basketball team. They go out 9-0 early and then trail at halftime. They get out to a 7-point lead early in the second half and wind up getting beat by, technically they got beat by 7 because a kid made a 3-pointer as the horn expanded. It was uncontested. So it was so much fun watching Wisconsin beat Ohio State last night, 61-57. Also last night in the Big Ten, Rutgers defeated Nebraska by a score of 79-62. Purdue doesn't play till tomorrow, and they play at Illinois tomorrow night. Game time is 8 o'clock after they defeated Minnesota in double overtime, 83-78 here on Thursday night. There is a couple big games, though, today in the Big Ten, starting at noon on Fox. It's Indiana at Maryland. I'm not so sure how I want to see that one go. I don't care either very much for either one of those two teams, but it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. A game I do want to try and see is at 2 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. That's Iowa and Penn State. Be interesting to see how those two teams get together and play, because that should be a fun game to watch. Both like to, you know, kind of exact opposites. Iowa likes to get it up and down the floor. Penn State kind of likes to, you know, be a little bit more methodical about things. So that's the Big Ten games for today. As we said, for tomorrow, Illinois is hosting Purdue. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night, and that is on Fox, by the way, tomorrow night, Fox Sports 1. On the Big Ten Network tomorrow night, Northwestern's at Minnesota. That's a 7:30 start of the Big Ten Network. And the big game during the day tomorrow is Michigan at Michigan State. That's games on CBS. That game starts at 1:30. One other thing a couple of them want to make mention is Butler is also on at noon today. They're hosting Creighton. That is on Fox Sports 1. That game starts at noon. Bulldogs need to find a way to, you know, don't let big leads like a 23-point lead plus at St. John's get away from them totally like they did the other night, but still have to find a way to win. They flat out almost gave that game away the other night down over at St. John's. One game I really do find very interesting today is that on ESPN at 1 o'clock you have Kansas State at Oklahoma. Now, this doesn't mean much to anybody around here. However, Kansas State coached by former Purdue assistant and Illinois head coach Bruce Weber. Oklahoma coached by former Illinois head coach Lon Kruger. And, of course, Kansas, who has got a game with West Virginia at 4 o'clock today. They're, of course, coached by former Illinois head coach Bill Self. So it's interesting. Illinois has three former head coaches now coaching in the Big 12. Think about it a little bit. So, and also, I don't know if you heard or saw it earlier this week, it's been rumored that Bill Self may become the next head coach in the NBA, the San Antonio Spurs. That might be interesting because they have an NCAA investigation kind of looming over them right now. And Bill Self may want to get out of there, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that takes place. Another interesting game today, Villanova at Marquette. That game's on Fox at 2 o'clock. That could be a fun game, too. Also, Notre Dame's at Syracuse today. That game goes at 4 o'clock on ESPN, too. And I think, let's see here, one, a couple other things. Duke is at Miami tonight. That's on ESPN at 8 o'clock. And the number one team in the country is Gonzaga. They look really good right now. They're hosting Pepperdine as they host the Waves on ESPN 2 tonight at 10 o'clock. We're going to take another break in here, and we're bringing our guest Colton Crum. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.